Good morning. Good to see everyone. Let's begin our worship by standing and singing together number 343. His name is wonderful. It's also printed in your order of worship. Let's stand together. Be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship God together this morning. We're so glad to have everyone here with us. I know it's cold. I know it's been a little bit snowy and some ice, but thank the Lord all that cleared off enough for us to gather this morning. And we are grateful that you are here. And we're also grateful for those who are joining us by radio or by our internet streaming. Thank you for being part of our worship, and we invite you and encourage you to come and worship with us in person when you can here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. And if you're looking for church home, we would love to have you. There are a number of things I want to mention briefly. First of all, it's in the bulletin that our youth group will meet this evening, but we know that a number of our kids are out of town, and so we're going to wait until next Sunday night to start youth group back. But we will meet next Sunday night at 5:30. Deacons will meet Tuesday at 6 p.m. And then Wednesday evening, we'll have kids club at 6, choir practice at 6:15, and prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock as we continue our study of Paul's letters to the Thessalonian church. And I'd encourage you to read those letters before you come on Wednesday, and that will help you to get more out of our study. Now, on the insert in your bulletin, you will find a list on both sides of recent memorial gifts that have been given, and encourage you to take a look at those. And also, in the bulletin, there's a notice about a gift that was given by the Alpha and Omega Women's Sunday School class in honor of and thanks to their teachers, particularly to Debbie Hill, the lead teacher. Our children are participating again this year in the Super Bowl of Caring. They're collecting cans of soup until February 9th. Last year, we went well over our goal, and so this year, the goal is a little higher. We want to collect 350 cans of soup. So go get your soup and bring it, okay? And encourage our kids in their ministry. And today's flowers are given by Grace Brown in loving memory of Bynum and Shirley Brown, and we are grateful for that. As we worship God together this morning, our call to worship comes from Psalm 29, and it is found in your order of worship. If you will join in on the bold print. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all say glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And let's pray together. O Lord our God, we do ascribe to you with the heavenly beings glory and strength as we come to worship you in holy splendor. You indeed rule over all creation, and your voice goes forth in storm and fire and flood. You sit enthroned as king forever. As we worship you now in the beauty of holiness, strengthen us, your people, and bless us with your peace in a world rocked by disaster and violence and turmoil. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 158, Jesus Shall Reign. Number 158. Be seated. We'll have the children come now for the children's sermon.
Remember, there are things don't hear any stories about him going to school or learning a trade or getting his chores, whether he did his chores, but we do hear about him being baptized. Do you remember who baptized him? John the Baptist. And when he went, John the Baptist had been baptizing other people, and John had been explaining to other people that when he baptized people, he would baptize them with water, but Jesus would baptize them with what? Do you remember? The Holy Spirit. Now, after Jesus was baptized, do you remember what happens in the story? The skies open up and a dove comes down and you hear the voice that says, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." So even though we are not going to have that experience, when we're baptized, we don't have the sky opening up. Do you think God's happy when we're baptized? Yeah, because we're all his children. And when we're baptized, what does that tell everybody? That we believe in God and we believe in Jesus and we want to follow him. That's right. So God is still pleased. He may not say it in words, but he's still pleased when each one of us comes to the realization and is baptized. So we want to thank God for that. Dear God, we thank you for sending Jesus for us. We know he wasn't like us in that he did the same things we did, but there are some things he did that we do. And we know you sent him as a man so that we could see how we should live as men in this world. In your son's name.
Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring you offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth, and everyone who is called by name, whom I created for glory, and whom I formed and made. The word of God for the people of God. The epistle lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14. When then are we to say, shall we continue to sin in order that grace may be abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never again, death no longer would dominate over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Thank you, Bruce. As we come now to our prayer time, there are a number of folks that we've been asked to pray for this morning. Sonny Braxton, that is Booker's niece-in-law, who had a ruptured appendix. Julie Surface, Sally Surface's daughter, has been in the hospital in serious condition. Continue to pray for Lance Eubank, also for Peter Kelsey, who's a friend of Bob and Lisa Turner, who is fighting cancer. Prayers for the family of Rita Whitley Burgess, Randy and Cindy Copeland, Gary Brett, Bonnie Jenkins, Faye Jenkins, and the family of Alan Revel. And we continue to remember Debbie and her family with TW's death as well. Certainly we want to remember the folks in California who have been so devastated by the wildfires and other needs as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll have a moment of quietness, and then I'll offer our prayer, and we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. Oh God, our Father, who loved the world in such a way that you sent your only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. We praise you for the glory of your mercy and grace that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him you've drawn us together and baptized all who follow you into one holy church. We praise you for calling us to be on mission with Christ in your world, proclaiming your gospel, the good news of Christ, through our works of mercy and words of witness. May our lives and our lips bear a winsome witness to our community and our world so that many will hear the good news of Jesus and follow him in the fellowship of your church. O Lord, we offer our thanks to you for all your many blessings as you provide for us and sustain us. The food we eat, the air we breathe, the homes we live in, so many ways that you have blessed us and provided for us. We thank you, Lord. And we also come to present our petitions and intercessions to you, confident that you hear us when we pray and that you answer us according to your gracious will and purpose. And so, Lord, we pray for the work of your kingdom in the world and for your church throughout the world and here in Murfreesboro. We pray, Father, for that you would help us, that we would be a shining light, that we would bear a winsome witness to the world around us. We pray, Father, for other churches in our community and other churches throughout the world as they seek to proclaim your gospel and to live before others, showing them what it means to be the people of God and inviting them to become a part of the people of God. We pray for our missionaries, Lord, wherever they may be serving, asking your blessings on them, your empowerment and your help, and for openness in the hearts of the people that they seek to reach. Lord, we pray for our country and for our state and town and our civil leaders, both those who have been elected and those who are appointed. Father, we ask that you would give them your guidance and direction. We pray, Father, that in our land you would send a time of spiritual renewal among your churches and a time of spiritual awakening among those who don't know you, so that there would be many who would turn to you. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering in the devastation brought by so many disasters recently. disasters at home and abroad, weather disasters, earthquakes, fires, wars, mass killings. Lord, we especially lift up to you the people in California enduring the wildfires and ask that you would help that those would be brought under control. Lord, we pray for those who've lost loved ones in those fires and ask that you will help them. And as they rebuild, Lord, that you will give aid and assistance to them. Father, we pray for those who are oppressed, those who are persecuted because of their faith, and ask your strength for them. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones and ask you to comfort them and to help them as they work through their grief, to do so in healthy ways, reminding them of your presence and your grace with them. For those who are sick or injured, those recovering from surgery, those who may be facing surgery or undergoing treatment or enduring chronic illness, Lord, we lift all of them to you, asking your assistance for them. Father, we pray for our children and young people and college students and especially for the students and faculty and staff and administration at Chowan. We pray, Father, for the parents of our children and youth, for their teachers and those who guide them. And Lord, we pray for those who don't know you, those around us who have never put their faith in you, that you would help them to turn to you, that you would help us to be winsome witnesses, Lord, and that you would open the door for us to share the good news with them and that they would respond in faith and obedience. And Lord, for those who may know you but are not walking with you, we ask that you would burden their hearts and that you would draw them back to yourself and to your people. Father, there are many things on our hearts and minds as we pray this morning, but we gather our prayers now and lift them to you in the strong name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. And Lord, we gather our prayers and we lift them now as with one voice in the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 152, When Jesus Came to Jordan, 152.
Jesus came to
Let's pray. Gracious Father, be pleased to accept these tithes and offerings that we humbly present to you now. Help us to grow in generosity and in the grace of giving so that with glad and generous hearts we will give you the best gifts out of our treasure, our time, and our talents. And most of all, Lord, that we will give you our very selves. We pray in his name. Amen. Thank you. Our gospel lesson is our text this morning, and it comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, and I'm reading this morning from the New International Version. When all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Lord, guide our thoughts now as we look into your word. Speak to us. And Father, help us to be committed to following Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. On the Christian calendars, it's already been said, today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, that time when we remember how, as Luke puts it, Jesus was baptized too. And when we remember that, the question that immediately comes to my mind, and probably to yours as well, is why? Why was Jesus baptized? After all, Luke tells us, as do Matthew and Mark, that John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And as Christians, we know and believe that Jesus was perfect. He was without sin. So why did Jesus come to be baptized? He always did what pleased his Father in heaven, so why would he need to be baptized? Matthew comes closest to giving us a biblical answer when he says that John protested and said, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." And Jesus responded by saying, "Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." But what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, through the centuries, biblical scholars and theologians and preachers have conjectured that in his baptism, Jesus was identifying with sinful humanity. Those who were repenting of their sin were being baptized, and so Jesus came and he was baptized too. Though he had no sin of his own, he identified with us in our need for repentance and forgiveness, and he ultimately died on the cross to bring those about. And rose from the dead. Well, maybe that's something like Jesus meant in his response to John's protest. This understanding fits well with Luke's understanding of Jesus the Messiah as the suffering servant of the book of Isaiah, the one who, though innocent, suffers for those who are guilty. And this immersion in water certainly prefigured his death and his burial and his resurrection, didn't it? But Luke himself doesn't give us any explicit indication of why Jesus was baptized. He just says that he was, and that it took place when all the people were being baptized. And that may imply this idea that he was identifying with us. But when you take the text at its face value, Luke's interest in Jesus' baptism seems to be in its timing. Its timing, and how it happened as his public ministry was beginning. Because baptism is, after all, about beginnings, isn't it? For us as Christians, from a biblical perspective, baptism marks the beginning of our walk with Christ, the beginning of our Christian life. It's our public declaration that we've bowed to the claims of Jesus as Lord, that we've committed ourselves to follow him as his disciple. And though the timing isn't always this way with every believer, ideally we believe that baptism, we should receive it at the beginning of our walk with Jesus. Well, sometimes a person puts their faith in Jesus long before they're ever baptized. But baptism is the public declaration and display of that faith in and commitment to Jesus as Lord. In most Christian traditions, following the common practice of the church since the second century, infants who are born or adopted into Christian families receive infant baptism, as an anticipation that the child will become a follower of Christ. That infant baptism is later completed by the confirmation process and a conscious profession of faith in Christ. Just as it was with Jesus, baptism is about beginnings. But now we're a Baptist congregation, and we, of course, practice believer's baptism. That when a person makes a conscious profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we baptize him or her in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when there's a genuine physical impairment to the person's being immersed, then we make adjustments and allowances. And our church is more open about this than most Baptist churches. When someone who's been following the Lord in another Christian denomination comes to request membership in our church, we accept their previous baptism. But as a Baptist congregation, our normative practice is believer's baptism. Well, it's vitally important for those who put their trust in Christ to be baptized. But why do we need to be baptized? What does it mean for us? Well, first of all, it's a matter of obedience. In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told his disciples, and by extension us, that we are to make disciples of all nations. And two things that are to be done to people who become disciples of Jesus, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. While the physical act of water baptism doesn't save us, it is an important step in our being a disciple of Jesus. It's an act of obedience as we follow Christ. Now again, sometimes there are impairments to that, but that's the normative practice. Along with its being an act of obedience, it's an act of identification with Christ. He was baptized. If we follow him, we should be baptized too. But baptism identifies us with Jesus in other ways too, because it pictures his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's a sign of our death to our old way of life, our burial to sin and the burial of that old way of life, and our resurrection spiritually to live and walk with Christ in newness of life. This portrayal is particularly powerful when baptism is by immersion in water. Well, through this act of identification, we're giving a testimony of our faith in Christ. We're saying to the world, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, being baptized was the public profession of faith. In our day, we separate it. A person comes forward and makes a public profession of faith, and then sometime later is baptized. In the New Testament, the way that you declared that you were a Christian is that you were baptized publicly. Now, some countries and cultures in our day are very hostile to serious Christian faith. Now, for them, it may be fine to talk about believing in Jesus. It may be fine if you're trying to live like Jesus said to live. But just don't get baptized. Because getting baptized, well, it's the point of no return. You're marked as a Christian. You're marked as a Christian. And that has consequences, sometimes very serious consequences. Pastor Jim Dennison, years ago when he was a college student, served as a summer missionary in East Malaysia. He attended a small congregation while he served there, and at one worship service, a teenage girl came forward and announced her decision to follow Jesus and be baptized. And she was baptized in that service. Well, during the baptism, Dennison said that he noticed some old, worn-out luggage over against the wall. And after the service, he asked the pastor, "What's that doing over there? What's that all about?" And the pastor said, "Well, her father said that if she was ever baptized, don't go home again. And so she brought her luggage." That's how serious it can be. Baptism is a sign. A sign of our faith in Jesus as the crucified and risen Lord and Savior. It's also a sign that by God's grace, our sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. We've been cleansed. And it's a sign of how we've been incorporated by the Holy Spirit into the church, the body of Christ, the people of God, the family of faith. We've been united with Christ as a part of the fellowship of His followers, and baptism powerfully portrays that as we're plunged into the water. Now, it's important to understand that baptism is not something we do to ourselves. It's something we submit to. It's something that's done to us. And while, as I said earlier, the physical act of being immersed in water has no saving effect, when it's done in faith, something mystical happens. All these things that happen in our salvation are powerfully portrayed and expressed in a visual way. Now, while Luke's interest in Jesus' baptism seems to be in its timing at the very beginning of his public ministry, with the way Luke tells the story of Jesus' baptism, it really serves as the backdrop for three important things that happened when he was baptized. First, Jesus was praying. And then, as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven as the Father said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, only Luke specifically tells us that Jesus was praying. Obviously, we would expect that Jesus would be praying at a time like this. But Luke wants to make sure that we know that he was. And Luke points out over and over in his account how important prayer was to Jesus and that Jesus' life was a life of prayer. He shows Jesus frequently going off by himself to pray. And then he also shows Jesus especially praying at the major events and the turning points of his life, especially while he was on the cross. The scholars tell us that in the ancient world, the flight of birds was often looked to as an omen. In other words, whether a bird or flock of birds flew by at a particular time and what kind of bird it was, or birds, served as a divine sign of who someone was or what that person was to be. Well, in the ancient Mediterranean world, a dove signified divine love and favor. So for a dove to descend on Jesus after he was baptized would say to the people who saw it that he was beloved by God. This wasn't just any dove. This was the Holy Spirit embodied as a dove. Come down on Jesus. Descending on him to empower him for his messianic mission. Luke tells us in chapter 4, verse 14, that after the 40 days of temptation in the wilderness that followed his baptism, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The voice from heaven was the verbal confirmation of what the descent of the Spirit signified. Jesus was God's beloved Son, and his Father was well pleased with him. It was important to Luke, as he told the story of Jesus, to establish all this at the beginning of his public ministry. Jesus was God's beloved Son, and his life was a life of prayer empowered by the Spirit. But what does all that mean for us? Well, Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, it's amazing how many parallels there are between the life of the early church and the life of Jesus. One of them is very early on in the book. Just as the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus as he was praying in the form of a dove after his baptism, and a voice came from heaven, so the early believers prayed in Acts 1, and the Holy Spirit descended on the church in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost in the form of tongues of fire and with the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And that was just the beginning of those parallels. I think this says something important to us. Our lives as followers of Jesus should be modeled after Jesus' life. Our lives as followers of Jesus should be modeled after Jesus' life. Just as his baptism marked the beginning of his public ministry, our baptism marks the beginning of our public walk with him. Just as his life was a life of prayer, so our lives should be lives of prayer in communication and communion with the Father, both individually and corporately. Just as Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit for his life and mission, so we must be empowered by the Spirit to live as Jesus calls us to live and to fulfill the mission he calls us to. And just as Jesus is God's beloved Son with whom he is well pleased, so we have been adopted into the family of God as his beloved children, and we should always strive to please him. But our baptism is the first step in modeling our lives after Jesus' life. Now again, sometimes that happens at different stages with different believers. Sometimes it comes long after they've begun to follow Jesus. Sometimes it has happened before they begin to follow Jesus. But it's still the mark that we are followers of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, fellow followers of Christ, Jesus was baptized too. And so were we, or if not, so should we be. But here's another question. How are we doing with the rest of modeling our life after his? Let's pray. And so, Lord, as we think about these things, we pray that you would help us all to live in obedience to you as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to declare our faith, to live our faith through a life of prayer and a life of ministry and service and mission empowered by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing our hymn of response, number 619, Blessed Assurance, perhaps God is speaking to you through this sermon, and there is some area in your life that you need to renew a commitment, or you need to make a new commitment, or you need to take some action. Whatever it is, we invite you to come as we stand and sing number 619.
Thank you.
that you came out to worship together this morning, and pray that you'll have a good rest of the day. Again, remember that our youth, we will start back next Sunday night at 5:30. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for our time together. Thank you for each one who is here. We ask your blessings on them, Lord. We pray that you'll help us all as we seek to follow you, to model our lives after the life of our Lord Jesus. So bless us, empower us, help us, Father, to be in constant communication with you in prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And as you go forth to follow Jesus as Lord, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.